Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 17, The Honeymoon. We're going to be breaking down probably the most exciting honeymoon in Marvel cinematic history, and we're going to be talking about the tragedy that is Talbot, as well as talking about Coulson's inevitable timeline. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know, I don't, like, when I think about, like, whether or not I'll get married, I don't know what I envision for my honeymoon, but now I absolutely want it to be fighting evil robots with the man I love.
So I have a question. What else is there? Like, that's the only type of honeymoon that exists.
Yeah. Like, once that, like, knowing that that's an option for a honeymoon, I don't want anything else.
I'm trying to think of any other MCU honeymoons just to try to disprove your point, but, like,
I'm
can't
sure
think of
comics,
a single other MCU. Comics, like, I'm trying to think of a single other.
Daisy and I actually planned something very similar for our honeymoon.
So. Oh, what do you guys have planned?
We're actually going to fight evil
Deke?
Robot.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to fight Deke.
Yeah.
Once he
Once
wakes
he
up.
Yep.
He's going to be like,
he can
I'm going to get off my Deke. I'm going to fight you,
Wait,
Tron.
Are you planning on fighting Graviton? Is that what the honeymoon you got? You
there
didn't want to
no
tell
Graviton.
Us because it's a surprise?
I don't want to hurt Zach's feelings, but there is no Graviton.
Yeah, they didn't do anything with that.
That's that. We might get it later, but that's we'll get into that when we talk predictions. Anyway, hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome back to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We're talking about, obviously, the honeymoon. Let's go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Taran.
I'm Taran, the one who has slayed Jesse.
Jesse's fine. He's just in Portland, which is code for dead.
Yep. Yeah, just like Coulson was in Tahiti.
He's been incapacitated, and we haven't gotten our life model decoy yet. So, you know, that's on back order. So we're still waiting on that. And to Taran's left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm excited to be back and talking S.H.I.E.L.D., even though there's no Graviton. It's okay.
One day.
I'm okay.
One more Graviton comment, and you
I'm
will
okay.
be next.
I'm okay.
Two.
Zach's going to turn into the Hulk. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow the hashtag ABTVMarvel. If you guys ain't following along on Twitter, have any comments, Zach has got you covered on the live chat. And again, be sure to send Jesse your well wishes at JessKlein1 on Twitter.
He's fine. He's just out of town. Don't well wish him for being out of town.
We
yell at him. Criticize
him. To the death. Stop covering up for me. This is what has happened. You will get a clip of what happened in our season finale.
Okay.
Right after the fan fiction.
Sounds good.
All for not valid in all 50 states.
So, yeah, let's break down this episode. I really, really enjoyed this one. This one felt like classic S.H.I.E.L.D., like return to form. There were a lot of great character interactions. The one-on-one fights that we got were really great. We had Yo-Yo versus the Superior and Quake versus Ruby, which we've been building up to for a little bit. I really enjoyed this episode. Did you guys have a highlight from tonight's episode or Friday's episode?
Yes, when Deke professed his love for Daisy.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was wonderful. That sounds like something I would do sober.
Would you be like pretend to be drunk, or is that, would you just profess your love to Jay-Z just because she is the amazing person that she is?
You've known me for a little while now, Megan. I don't have to pretend.
Pretty sure you profess your love for Daisy every single episode.
She just hear about it. She probably already knows, and it's just like, yeah, I'm aware.
Taran's like, I love you. Yeah. I know. Yep.
But it's a less positive, I know, than sci-fi.
It has to be less positive because, honestly, there is something between Deke and Daisy, even if Daisy doesn't want to admit it. We've been saying that since their introduction to one another. There's an unspoken energy.
It's kind of the classic rom-com sort of formula of like, oh, these two characters hate each other, and by the end, they're in love.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy, unspoken.
Spoken
thing.
Some unspoken
and if they
thing.
Speak about it, then it's no longer unspoken.
That's very true. I really felt for Deke in this episode.
I didn't at all. You were told what to do. You decided not to do what to do. You face the consequences of what it is that you did not do.
You have to hand it to him, though. He's absolutely right. He's not an agent. He shouldn't have to listen
even
to
more
orders.
Reason to do what is told to you to do. You're not an agent. You're not trained. These people know what they're doing. The road to hell is often paved with good intentions. People always have good intentions, and they get in people's ways, and they mess it up. You make it worse. Like, you were the only casualty in this situation. They had come off clean. They had won. It was done. And I know you have, like, the best intentions. That's great. However, sometimes that's just not only is it not enough, you're going to mess something else up. Because right now, we don't know what the consequences or effects of Deke's death might be to the future timeline or the present timeline or what's going on. I mean, this is a crazy time for everyone, okay?
I mean, I think Deke's not invincible like the others. Like, if Deke dies, it's just a really sad time loop of his death. Like, his grandparents meet him. They have his mother. His mother has him. He meets his grandparents, and then he goes back and dies with those grandparents. And the Fitzsimmons line ends. But this is the only way for Daisy to be part of the Fitzsimmons family.
Oh!
Wait, so if...
It's not the only way.
Does Deke have a last name? Has it been established? Is it Deke Fitzsimmons and we just haven't said it out loud?
They've never stated his last name.
So the answer is no.
They've never stated his last name. Even so, if Fitz and Simmons' daughter got married to this other guy, there is a possibility that she would have taken on his last name and Deke would have just gotten
a possibility.
His last
name. But I think any Fitzsimmons child, male or female, is going to be strong enough to be like, no.
Like, this is my family's name.
That this child will bear the Fitzsimmons name.
So, possible. I don't think anybody
said it out
loud.
And then my point is, and then Daisy, just because she wants to, will take Deke's last name, thus becoming Daisy Fitzsimmons.
That will never happen. Okay?
Or she decides to hyphenate it and she becomes Daisy Johnson Fitzsimmons.
Daisy Johnson Fitzsimmons von Gossery. I think that's a beautiful...
You want to throw, like, Sky in there as, like, an added-on middle name?
Well, no, that'd be weird.
Oh,
that's
it's
the
Deke
name
Shaw.
Of his daughter.
It's Deke Shaw. I'm very wrong. I forgot about that.
Thank you, chat. We really appreciate your attention to detail. You guys are the best. I'm going to disagree with you, Taran. I feel like, granted, Deke wasn't exactly the best person when they were in the future, but ever since he went back in time with them, he's been getting bullied so badly.
Sure.
And again, to his point, he sacrificed what he thought was going to be his life for them so that they could get back to the past and hopefully create a better future. The fact that he lived through that was a miracle. Sure. It was an astronomical thing that just happened by chance.
You're absolutely correct.
And so he technically sacrificed his life for them. And from the moment he met up with them, they've been relentlessly mean to him.
Sure. I have a question for you. In that future that you're talking about, did the agents do things that Deke told them not to do and then mess things up further?
All the time.
So why would Deke go ahead and do the exact same mistake that he had told them not to do?
Probably because he lived his life bucking authority when it meant a matter of survival. So, like, he was a criminal in the future. Like, he
wasn't
he
a criminal.
Kept his
he was
head
a worker.
Down.
He was a worker. He worked a system.
No, he kept his head down, but he was doing all
Let's
sorts
not use
of
words
underhand.
Like criminal like that. Okay, towards Deke, like you did.
He used all sorts of underhanded dealings in order to survive and get ahead, but also stay off the radar of authority.
Yeah, don't forget that Deke like built his own like mini framework
as a
drug peddling escape thing,
also helped many people in that timeline. See, what we're doing is placing our morals and
I didn't say it was ideas. Bad. I'm just saying he did it.
You used words like drug peddling, and I just
that's like, what it was. It was an underground illegal,
allegedly.
Although the Kree knew about it, they looked the other way because they're like, that's super convenient.
And some
for
of
us.
Them used it as well. What I'm just saying about Deke is that sure, and I have always been a strong opponent of bullying Deke in the present timeline, which I don't know why they've done when he's been nothing but actually really good to them. He's been a very helpful ally.
I mean, for the most part, it's been played off for comedy, and I've very much enjoyed it to an extent. But, like,
sometimes they push it.
There gets to be be a point where you just start to really feel bad for him.
Yeah, Deke walks in, he's like, hi guys, loser. Like, whoa.
Like, what did Deke? Daisy's berating him as he's coughing up blood.
No, no, no. Daisy doing that is because she secretly likes him. That's different. That's different. That's the kindergarten hit the kid you like. In the playground,
that's
on the swing.
The schoolyard. You're I'm going to call you stupid because I like you.
It's because, like, as long as I call you stupid, I don't have to say I love you. Daisy would have been very sad if Deke died. Daisy's the most concerned.
But, yeah, we fast forward to the end of the episode after freaking Mac and Piper have to do, like, improvised surgery on him in order to sustain him and stabilize him. That was...
Yeah, because Mac... The like mechanic knows how to sew an artery. Apparently,
he's like, I don't mind the sight of blood, and I have a steady hand. And Piper's like, I've got a book
that she's been reading.
With our powers combined, we can probably fix this. Since Simmons is AWOL,
you know, surprisingly. Surprisingly, a lot of doctors probably do it exactly the same way. I mean, I'm just saying, there are some not so good insurances out there.
They go to their like nurse's assistant. It's just like, okay, turn the page. Okay, then. Okay, what's in diagram? Okay,
hypo.
So, okay, remove kidney. Which one's the kidney?
How do we remove the kidney? There's not a subset of instructions here.
I see. Turn to page 134.
Well, can we say that the body, if nothing else, is a very well-designed mechanism? Like, and so if Mac is the ultimate mechanic, which we're saying that he is, who's just amazing at creating and building and has fine, steady hands.
Mm-hmm.
So... Still would never let you do surgery on me, bro. Sorry, buddy. I'm just saying.
The best biomechanic in the world. Artery,
but, you know, it was a fun scene. It was a whole dynamic between Mac and Piper helping out.
And Piper's working really hard to redeem very herself. So yeah, I really appreciated their interactions, especially because Mac is like, I don't know what to do about Yo-Yo. And it made for a really great setting for that conversation where characters are expressing how they feel without it feeling like an exposition dump. Because, you know, he's working at the same time trying. I really appreciated what he had to say about, like, how do you fix something when you're responsible for it being broken? And he's like, you fix something else. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
That was really good. I did see a storyline correlation between Deke in this, and I'm going to break the fourth wall here, in the TV show Flash, they have that doctor that's from a different timeline. He's like their scientist. And they always pick on him, and he dies in the end, redeeming himself, just being spoilers. The most helpful guy. Well, I mean, we're way past that season in the show. But what I'm saying is, I thought in this episode, Deke was actually had a strong possibility of dying, and I'm so glad they did not kill him. Because it looked like he was gone. I mean, he did get riddled with bullets by a machine gun. So unless Deke is going to drop an album next week, because he got shot 9 times, his SoundCloud is probably fire, guys. This is 50 Cent times 2. He got riddled by machine. Are we just going to act like he didn't just get shot up by hail? Like, that didn't happen? Like, he didn't go, brrr, tat, tat, tat. And then he was like, and all they did was like, oh, one artery. Like, I'm so happy that he stayed alive. Like, I'm definitely, Deke, I'm going to catch your mixtape.
I would have been frustrated if we'd killed him, because I feel like this character is, there's too much more fun to have with Deke.
I feel like it would have been a disservice, too, to have Fitzsimmons' grandchild killed when they're not around. They are planning on killing off this. Yeah, to have this character look like he sacrificed himself way earlier in the season, only for him to survive that, only to kind of kill him off in a very quiet, unceremonious way. So I'm glad that they didn't. And
he can still die, though. I read books too, and guess what? It's not just the surgery. It's if you get infected. Yeah. And it didn't look like that was the cleanest environment. I didn't really see them use hand sanitizer. A little nothing.
Yeah,
unconscious.
The lighthouse is very poor. It's very poorly lit. It has not been well maintained.
I mean, there's just a lot of dust.
There's a lot going on.
I will say I'm pretty confident that the Zephyr has like a med bay.
Yeah.
That's a good point. They could have just been like, you know where we need to go? It's the Zephyr's
like,
med bay.
The first place that they were on the Zephyr to start, and then they're like doing all this emergency stuff in the the loading
the cargo
dock.
Hold.
Yeah, the cargo hold. Thank you. But like that was where they lived, and like there was like a mobile base. I know it's not the helicarrier, but like I think they had like a medical like section cube installed at some point.
Yeah, it's not as nice as the bus that they used to have, but which we miss dearly. But yeah, I feel like there was probably some sort of sterilized environment they could have used. But nope, dirty floor of the cargo hold. That's what Deke gets.
Nope, give me that one.
But he's from the future. He probably got like future antibiotics or something in it.
I do appreciate that scene. It was, even though, you know, clearly suspension of disbelief. When you believed it, it was a fun, good scene.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, even though we have a lot of kind of serious drama going on with a lot of the other characters, they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders, literally, because it's about to explode, and they're on a runaway train track towards that with no seeming way of being able to avoid it. So there's a lot of drama there. Coulson is dying, and there's a lot of interactions going on with the drama that's entailed with that. Talbot has PTSD. So to have one fish out of water character there to provide comic relief is very much a welcome breath of fresh air. And, you know, what could be, everything else is pretty serious and played pretty straight. So it's nice to have Deke in there to give a funny little monologue about how pretty he thinks Daisy is.
It was also very nice to hear how much Piper wants to redeem herself. Mm-hmm. And she brought up a really good point. Piper, this is all your freaking fault. Like, let's go back to the day that you just decided. Because this is something that also, which I know we're going to discuss, but when it comes to Fitz and Simmons, right? No one ever realizes, they're like, oh, we don't have a choice. You do have a choice. You can die. If my death means that the rest of the world lives, then guess what? I can't be selfish. This is the path that I see people take when they're driving. Have you ever seen someone driving and they miss their left turn, so they block the straight turn trying to get into the left lane? It's like you've just inconvenienced everyone behind you because you missed your turn. Guess what? You can just go to the next street, make a left, then make a left, and go back. Make a U-turn. Do something else. This is a fallacy. The fallacy of my life is important. I have to be the one that saves the world. No, you can die. Sorry, Fitz and Simmons. Same way I felt about Piper when she betrayed it. You didn't have to live, bro. You could have let it go. You could have been like, I refuse to betray everyone else just for the sanctity of my one life.
It's the trolley dilemma from The Good Place. That's a whole philosophical question of like, hey, do you, if the trolley is going one way and it's about to hit five people, you can switch the track so that it only hits one person. But do you, if you do nothing, it'll hit the five people. You actively have to make that choice.
I switch the tracks. I will kill the one person. And I this is the thing. It's also a philosophical dilemma. What if that one person, it's like five people and that one person is your sister or brother or mom? Well, here's the thing. Depends on who those five people are. But if it's 50, then it's no question. At that point, I have to take the L. And you have to sometimes realize that in order to be the hero, you have to be the villain.
Profound.
Bars.
There's a lot.
Maybe Deke should get my mixtape.
There's a lot of moral ambiguity when we're talking about what is the right thing to do, for sure. There's a lot we can learn from that philosophical dilemma. And if you guys want to learn and have fun and grow in all areas of your life, there's something we have for you.
You can check out my favorite podcast, which is Conversations with Maria Menounos. If you don't know who Maria is, Zach, let them know.
Maria Menounos is the founder and head of AfterBuzz TV, along with Kevin Undergaro.
And we love them both, but Maria's podcast is one of my favorite podcasts. So if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, definitely, definitely take a little time out of your day and listen to the podcast, Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. It's hosted by Maria every single Friday on iTunes. It's easy to find, it's easy to click, and it's easy to share. Listen to it. Love it. You will. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. It's a very motivational, inspirational, and fun podcast, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you have always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. For free. That's my favorite part. And be sure to rate and comment when you do. Let Maria know it was us that sent you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Yes. And while you're at iTunes, if you want to go over to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Page on iTunes as well and write and leave a comment, we would really appreciate hearing from you, because it is the best way to let said producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Plus, you might even get a shout out on the show. And I'm scrolling through right now to see if we have any new ones. So my apologies. But no joke, guys. If
you're never going to find the new ones on the iPhone. I've got you.
Oh, you've got it, Zach?
It's going to be forever. You're going to scroll forever.
The iTunes sorting feature for reviews on the phone is impossible to navigate. But I want to thank Miss Cassia for writing in a review.
Oh, Cassia.
She's a wonderful fan.
So great.
A great person. Thank you all for continuing to make the greatest podcast. I always watch older episodes in the mornings to start the day off in a good mood. I'm so grateful to have gotten to know all of you incredible panelists. It's fantastic to hear people talk about the things I love so much in depth, and I love listening to your different opinions. I hope you succeed in your fight to the death with Jesse, Taran.
I have succeeded.
Apologies to Jesse. It's okay, because I'm going to steal Daisy from Taran.
You are next, Cassia. You are next.
Oh, that's
no
amazing.
One.
And the rest has a reference to a rumor that we'll have to get to in News and Gossip.
Yes.
Save it for News and Gossip. This is how you tease people and build the audience's tension until the very end of the show. That's right. There's News and Gossip to come, so stay tuned.
Indeed. So again, thank you guys to everybody who's gone to iTunes to do that and support us. Don't forget to support Maria as well, because we would not be here if it wasn't for Maria and Kevin. So it means a lot, not only when you support us, but when you support the people who give us this platform. So thank you guys so, so much.
Yeah, and be sure to leave us a review, because then you get shouted out on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Just like Cassia. I'm rooting for her and Daisy now. That's wonderful.
I ship it.
Battle everyone to the death. Okay.
Oh. All right. So let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit. We touched on it a little bit before. I want to talk about Talbot, because Talbot's entire journey in this episode was nothing short of heartbreaking all the way through, from his interactions with Coulson and Daisy to that final moment right before the episode ended. It was just, you really feel for this guy, and he did his best holding out hope for Phil and for the rest of the agents to come in. When he sees Daisy, he knows that it wasn't Daisy who actually shot him, but that doesn't stop the PTSD trigger from kicking in, and he still has to actively remind himself, no, it wasn't you. I know it wasn't you. You'd never do that. And he feels so much guilt about all the information he did provide Hale, and all he wants to do is talk to his family one more time. Until he can finally find a way home, until all this gets sorted out. And then to get rewarded after all of that with the Whitehall brainwashing that we had in season two, that was just devastating.
Yeah. I mean, Talbot, it sort of hints at it when he says, like, they broke me. I betrayed the Air Force. Like, I don't think his programming basically would let him spill the beans on exactly what he had done, but he knew that he had betrayed the people that he most cared about, which for him is his family and also the military.
Yeah, his country, the Air Force, his family, not in that order, but yeah, we have an Agent 33 scenario going on here, where it's just, this is a person who's a loyal agent who's just been broken down to a shell of a human being, and now Whitehall brainwashing is going to probably cause him to try to attack Daisy.
We have a Manchurian candidate in the midst, but here's the thing. Three things. Number one, they did an excellent job of dealing with what is known as POW syndrome, or when people are captured in acts of war and tortured for information. I think they had a really good version of this when Picard in Star Trek Next Generation was captured by the Cardassians one time. I mean, it's actually a thing that we rarely talk about, but it's very important. And it's when the prisoner feels the guilt of being tortured and giving up information, they feel that betrayal and they hide it. Your brain has to justify it. It's tough. You try to hold out as long as possible, but the human body really isn't meant to take so much pain. And torture is a tactic. Brainwashing is a tactic. things like Stockholm Syndrome become tactics. This is why we even know so much about these things. And Talbot's, what's his name? Adrian?
The actor's name? Yeah. Adrian Palecki?
Pastar. Adrian Pastar, he's done such an amazing job.
Palecki is Mockingbird, Megan.
Done such an amazing job.
Maybe I just miss her a lot.
Why?
Well, she was like, Palicki? It's like, no, that Adrian Palicki plays Mockingbird.
Different Adrian. Yeah. Different Adrian who was on
but
this
just
show.
A really good job of portraying what it's like, the fractured memories and just the lapses. And what we're seeing is PTSD is just really a psychosis of some sorts where it's just like you're afraid of everything and everyone all the time and you do not know what's real. Everything seems like an illusion. That is what it's about. However, the third point is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The phone call should never have been allowed to be made. That's so simple. Everyone felt sorry for him, but you know the protocol. No contact with outside sources. Doesn't matter how secure it was. And now you see why these protocols are in place. It's to protect the sanctity of the fort hold, which you've now have what we see in upcoming episode is going to be the guy that... sends it all to hell, right? So we really just need to be careful, and sometimes, and this is where Daisy isn't ready to be a leader. I don't know if Coulson would have allowed that phone call to be made. That's the bigger question.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting too, because we don't know sort of what he was subjected to. There's a good chance that they programmed him to want to reach out to his family, like, because they referred to it specifically as their contingency plan. So, and he did a really excellent job of kind of guilting Daisy into it. So that could have been an honest, like, I just want to talk to my family moment, but it also could have been a brainwashing. If you are broken out of this facility, if you are removed from this facility, make contact with this person.
This is the only problem. Like, Daisy's great, but she is still one of all of our agents, other than Yo-Yo, she is the newest S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and this shows is that she is too compassionate to be a master spy.
But a great wife. Hi, Daisy.
Like, it's not a knock on her as a person, but, like, she's not, designed the same way as, like, May... or Coulson, where
Nick Fury would have never let that phone call. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely not.
And yeah. That's why he is in charge.
No, when
never.
He sort of is somewhere
allegedly.
when you're in a leadership position, you have to be able to make those tough calls, and that doesn't mean you're not human. It just means that even though it hurts, you have to do what's best. You know, the needs of the many outweigh
good.
The needs of the few.
The greater good.
Oh, this is going to be heartbreaking if it comes true.
Oh, what
the
is
chat,
it? Oh, no.
Barbara Chevalier says, will Talbot kill Robin's mother?
Oh, maybe! Oh, no!
Oh, good prediction.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really good prediction. That's going to hurt.
You know, that was me typing. I wrote that and sent that in, so...
You
that's great.
That's excellent. I think I want to cap it there on that discussion because well, I think that's a sufficient mic drop.
Let's transition because like after May confesses her love for Coulson, does that like there's your family unit that Robin slides into.
Mm-hmm.
So the setup is all there.
Now, let's talk
Sorry,
about...
Sorry, Robin's mom.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because this is the first time May, in non-LMD form, like, she actually says, I love you to Coulson, and this is not at all
That's
how I
where
pictured.
You're wrong, Megan. She has said it many, many times.
With her eyes.
With her eyes.
And with her actions.
And with her kicks to the people's throats, because she defended Coulson.
But she calls him out, and it, you know, he's acting reckless, Daisy's not ready to take on this position of leadership, not because she isn't capable of it, but because she cares about him and he's basically given up on life. And May calls him on it, and then she says, "I love you. I thought that'd shut you up." And she walks away. Oh man, May, tough love for absolute sure. Ugh. Oh, this is not how I pictured the shipping fan fiction of this moment. I did not picture it going down this way.
they should kiss already. Here's the thing.
I thought that was how that scene was going
to
end.
I don't want them to kiss. You guys have dragged it out too long. You have closed the window of opportunity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., writers. You guys have passed it. Now, if they kiss, I'll be like, I don't want them. I want this to be unrequited love.
I disagree with that, chat. For everyone's information, when Taran and I were watching this, Taran gasped when she said, I love you.
Hold, please. I did not gasp. I have asthma. I needed my inhaler.
An intake of breath was had. A jaw was dropped. That is how it happened.
It shut me up, too. It did. Because she said it with so much force, so much angst, so much truth.
We've been building.
It's how I feel for Daisy.
And I don't know what the chat's feeling because chat froze.
No!
So we want to, everyone at home, what do you think? Should Daisy and Taran, no, should May and Coulson kiss or not kiss? All you have to do is write in the comments below, kiss or not kiss?
Kiss.
I think it's been so long. I don't know.
We know Megan's going for kiss.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
How would you feel if they kissed and then broke up? Kiss. And then we're like, we're never talking to each other anymore. And then that's how Coulson dies.
I'd be very upset. But Taran, you actually mentioned Stockholm Syndrome a little bit earlier. And for a spell in this episode, I kind of thought that's where Ruby was at. Because she loses her big fight with Daisy, which BTW, awesome. I really enjoyed that fight. But then she gets retrieved by her mom, who basically tells her, go to her room. And then Von Strucker gives her this opportunity to escape, and they can go anywhere they want. And she doesn't run away at first. And for a moment, I thought, is this a trick? Or is she being genuine when she's talking to her mom about how she's a disappointment and how she, for whatever reason, she feels like she's failed her mom and that she's tried time and time again to please her. And she just has this very emotional breakdown. And I'll be honest, I kind of buy it. I feel like a good chunk of that, even though it was used to manipulate Hale, I feel like a good portion of it was honest. Like, you know, the best lies have a grain of truth in them. She was using the truth to manipulate her mom.
Well, you made a really good point when we were talking about it, that why she didn't kill her mom is because she still wants to impress her. She still has that need. If you notice, Von Strucker just went and shot everyone else. But she wants to impress the mom. She could easily rip the mom to shreds.
And also, she didn't mention to Von Strucker that she left her mom alive. She just said, yeah, we're good. We're free and clear.
We're free and clear.
There's
and good.
Absolutely nothing to read into in that statement.
I really thought the Hale was going down in that moment. I thought it was going to be that classic, like, I love you, mom. Stab!
Which we saw actually from the LMD. What was her name? The one I used to love, but...
Ada?
Ada did that similar, like, oh, I love you, and... kill.
It's a classic move.
Yeah,
it's a move.
It's a classic bad guy move.
Yeah. Okay. The chat came back to us, by the way.
Oh, good.
there's actually a somewhat split on the kiss, not kiss. There's a fair amount of people who think they should not kiss.
I see a lot of not kisses, buddy. I see a lot of not kisses.
I see there are a lot of kisses, but there's also just
sporadic,
as many.
Sporadic. But
not kiss, but not if it's the last kiss before he dies.
That's true. See, that means you didn't really kiss.
They should have sex. Is in there. One night stand is in there.
Okay, that's okay. I might agree. Here's the thing about Ruby and Hale. Their dynamic is very, in a lot of ways, father and son. We've seen this in a father and son dynamic where the sins of the father, and then the son wants to prove to the father, I'm as good as you, I'm even better. The father, you're a disappointment. So it's actually really great to see television breaking that gender box and saying, this just happens. It's a relationship.
Portraying it as a mother-daughter relationship.
Exactly. Child and parent, the legacy, the going on. Here's something else that got played out, is that emo angst of the boyfriend coming in and we can we've actually seen this on 2020 in First 48. Like, the boyfriend's like, let's kill your mom and just be free. Like, that's not, I mean, it's messed up, but it's so true. Like, that's really what played out. They're not Bonnie and Clyde so much as they are, you know, a news clip on Channel 5. This is some crazy stuff that they're actually looking for. And they're both, as much as we like to look at them, they're both actually fairly young. And sure.
Yeah, like, they had play dates, you know, years
exactly.
ago.
They had play, like, they're kids in a lot of ways. They're kids. And it's just scary to see kids with this much power because they're acting irresponsibly. Now, and once again, within the realms of the evil plan that the mom has set out, but it's still, it's a scary, and this is another step into going into what's going to eventually be the destruction of the world.
Well, you bring up a good point in terms of, like, the sins of the father coming back, because Von Strucker's only in this position because his dad was a major player in Hydra. If, you know, his dad had taken...
Until he got, like, just offed in, like, a heartbeat in Age of Ultron.
Which was hysterical. He was in a post-credit scene in another movie, and then boom, gone.
You're kind of mean right now, Megan. That's someone's father, bro.
He was a genocidal maniac who, like, kidnapped and bioengineered two people.
He was a Nazi.
I love you, Dad.
But
he wasn't a Nazi. He was Hydra. But
he was Hydra.
He was Marvel Nazi.
Yeah. I got into this. Somebody tweeted me with that question, how could you have to S.H.I.E.L.D. fans? This is old news, but how is Hydra still around when in with the Soviets in Winter Soldier, and now they're here in the modern time and all that? And it's like they're
Charlottesville guys, tiki torches,
way older than the Nazis.
Even
than
when
that. They were Nazis, they weren't really Nazis.
They were
Hydra implementing the Nazi tactics.
It was Hydra for the using the Nazis.
Yeah, they were offshoots, so to speak. Yeah. Red Skull didn't care about the Nazis.
They're still bad. Yeah, they're terrible people.
They're absolutely terrible people. Anyway,
okay, fair discussion. I think that they're not as bad as the Nazis, and I'll tell you why. Because they indiscriminately hate everyone, which I can appreciate.
I accept that argument.
Because that actually makes... That's why I'm very sensitive on the, you know, especially I'm Black, Persian, Jewish. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone just wants
Hydra,
me dead.
Hydra's
like,
a little bit...
Armenian and Jewish. Like, I know how you feel.
Exactly.
Like,
Hydra's a little bit more equal opportunity evil. However, when you get characters like Von Strucker in there, and we had some people talking about this in terms of the subject, the subtext of the flashback episode, Hale's friend, you know, the person of color, got stuck in middle management, and then she, the one woman in the class, got relegated to this science project.
Sure.
And that's something Ruby brings up when her mom says, I have great plans for you. And she's like Whitehall had great plans for you.
Wow.
Don't you just see that you're just doing the exact same thing to me? And it's an interesting discussion about, you know, us being products of everything that came before, but at the same time, whether or not we can choose to break away from that, it's interesting.
But she's still not choosing to break away from it. It's not like Ruby's going, Mom, everything you taught me, I hated it, and now I'm going to go be a good guy. It's like, no, Mom, I'm going to show you I can do it without you and do the exact thing you programmed me to do.
And we even get that a little bit in terms of when she and Daisy are face-to-face for the first time. She's like, oh my gosh, Quake, you're so pretty in person, and I have a poster of you on my wall, and I'm going to also defeat you in life and death combat. It's going to be great.
She should get way more credit than she did. Ruby is not an inhuman. Quake is an inhuman, and
she is an engineered human, so she is
genetically enhanced. Yeah, she's genetically enhanced, so works out.
Tomato, tomato, bro.
She doesn't have the superpowers that Daisy has.
Makes a big difference, if you ask me.
Absolutely. That's what gave Daisy the advantage. If she didn't have her powers back, I'm not sure it would have been as evenly matched.
And that played a part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's how she was able to incapacitate Ruby.
They were, they seemed fairly evenly matched in terms of like the hand to hand, but like it would have been to the bitter, like bloody end, if not for Daisy's ability to just like quicker against a tree.
It would have went to overtime if nothing else, right? Yeah, at least it would have went to overtime.
They seem pretty even.
Overtime.
And also Daisy didn't have a weapon. Mm. So that was like sort of the trick. Like if Daisy had I don't know what weapon Daisy would carry. Would she powerless? Probably just a gun.
Probably a gun or an icer. You know.
Still a gun.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different. It's a shield gun.
You know who had a gun? Hale. I see. She brought a gun. Deke. I just want to.
Deke also had a gun. He just didn't use it very well. But yeah, she locks Hale away, and then she and Von Strucker run off to go to the facility where the chamber is at, which is where Fitz and Simmons happen to be having their honeymoon. And poor Yo-Yo feeling like a third wheel. I really appreciated this whole infiltration sort of side story that we had as they're breaking into the Superior's facility. And for one, we get to see Yo-Yo's robot arms in action, and also how it doesn't necessarily her arms can't keep up with her. I'm glad
they addressed that. I was wondering, like, her whole power is based on her biology. That doesn't necessarily extend to, because that assumes that the machines can move as fast as she can.
Yeah, and we find out that there are some dire consequences for not taking her speed into account when designing her arms, because the pain is so intense that it actually incapacitates her for a little bit, and they're not sure what to do. And then, you know, she has to run off a little bit because, again, doesn't want to be a third wheel. But she and the Superior have this one-on-one confrontation too, and they are both more than human now. Like, what's left of his humanity is in a jar somewhere, and he's just got lots of different robot bodies that are pretty dispensable.
Well, it left in a jar, but I believe, and I admit to not catching this while watching the episode, but apparently, and this has been confirmed by a member of the visual effects team from S.H.I.E.L.D., that was Ivanov's real head on that body.
Oh!
He did.
I mean, the blood.
But I assumed it was just like it was fake. I didn't
human blood. It was just fake.
Well, they've done that with LMDs before to fake things. I assumed it was a Bicentennial Man style.
So no. Is he dead?
Yeah, apparently Ivanov is straight up dead, thus crushing my MODOK theory. Shield.
Or I might come back with Graviton. Here's the thing about that, right? Because he wasn't that superior after all. Yo-Yo and Superior face off, and then he makes the comment, "You're part machine now, too."
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Yo-Yo actually felt about that?
Probably there was probably a little bit of defensiveness there, too, because although she has the words of Mac to sort of fall back onto, because she was feeling when she lost her arms and trying to figure out the robot prosthetics, she was feeling like she was less than whole. And he made the point of saying, you know, yeah, your part of you is mechanical now, but not the parts that matter. Not like your heart or your soul or your smile or your sense of humor. Like, none of the parts that actually matter are gone.
We know
gone.
You're talking about, Mac.
and she says something because she goes, "Not the parts that count."
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's her reaffirming what Mac told her and showing that she's really internalized that, because he is because the Superior is a completely different story. He was all about being anti-machine and anti-LMD until he got
inhuman too. He was a humanity purist.
And then he got turned into a robot, and suddenly he's like, oh, this is kind of awesome. I don't feel any pain anymore. I can die and, like, kind of come back. Like, this is actually pretty cool. I'm better than you now. Like, I've taken one more step to actually being a superior human being. And I guess in his mind, one of the ways he's justified that is because he has a mostly metal body. He's, I guess, ahead of the game. That was not a head pun. Gosh darn it. I'm
but
kicking myself now.
The fallacy of the in your shoes. Like, as soon as I'm in your shoes, now I understand why we're better. Let's. Something that played out also with the Superior, when he dies, all the mechs stop working too. Right as Fitzsimmons were having trouble with them, kind of.
They're going like, please let time be fixed.
Because that was the whole thing. Is like they died because that was the one. That was the actual head. So he was the control spot that was like that was in charge of everything. So killing the it's the original vampire style thing.
If you remove the head vampire, or everybody werewolf. Else is
that's not how, is that how vampire? I don't
it's
know.
It's a vampire.
Okay.
It is a vampire thing in some stories.
It also works for werewolves. Either way.
Doesn't work for werewolves.
Shield is not going to do Werewolf by Night on this show. If they do, I'm in, but they're not going to.
I think that pretty much does it for this episode. We are running a little short on time. Before we get into news and gossip, any final thoughts on this week's episode?
It was a good episode. Like, this is a solid episode. Like, I love how much spy stuff we've got going on, and I'm looking forward to next week. I still think are we doing predictions now or
let's do it after news and gossip.
All right.
But the only other thing I have to say is that Fitz and Gemma are absolutely adorable. They've kind of got a pseudo old married couple.
Can we say
sort of
Fritz
thing.
And Gemma? Because he does make the benefits to having your arm cut off. And like you said, too soon. Too soon, Fritz.
But we're also definitely seeing the lightheartedness of Fitz. Like we don't separate from each other anymore.
Yeah.
We don't leave each other's side. That was the line.
It's a beautiful combination of like the Fritz swagger with Fitz's adorable lightheartedness. And Gemma also, you know, she makes some fun callbacks too. She's like, hey, no trouble with the parachute this time. And they make the point of saying we've come a long way. And then they make the leap together. And I thought that was adorable. And yeah, best honeymoon ever. Best honeymoon ever. Up until Ruby and Von Strucker
come in. We're getting kicked out.
Let's talk really quick some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So there is
a rumor.
Just super rumor. Like, I don't even remember what the source's name was because it was
like,
so
Dana
much.
Geek?
It was, no, it wasn't. It was
Jesse.
No, it was like, because Den of Geek as well as a number of places also like reshared the information, but the original source is like, God only knows they're not a reputable source. But they're claiming that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for season 6, and they just haven't announced yet, because ABC hasn't done their upfronts and their announcements and any of that. And they won't for probably another month or so. But the rumor is that they have been renewed. S.H.I.E.L.D. is like the show that cannot be killed. I keep thinking that's it, like based on ratings, based on other like stuff going on, and it just like they won't let it go, which is great. But like, so we like, again, this is totally unsubstantiated and ABC has not commented, but the rumor's out there.
Part of me definitely doesn't want to get my hopes up, because there's nothing worse than getting your hopes up and having them crushed.
Who hurt you?
Look, for all we know, the whole universe is going to blow up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know.
In a cloud of Infinity Stones.
But at the same time, I'm like, it would be kind of nice for Agents of... I would be okay for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ending this season, since we're like, closing the book.
Blasphemy!
Well, they wrote the... Jed Whedon said that they wrote this season's finale as a series finale. Like, they wrote it assuming that they weren't going to have any more episodes.
I would also be 100% okay with a post-Infinity War season. Like, I need it, but I understand if that's not what we're getting.
I will be happy to see S.H.I.E.L.D. come back. I just don't want it to be in some weird scenario like the beginning half of the season where we have to remove them from the world that we inhabit, because that's what I like about this show, is that it inhabits a world that we're familiar with. Don't do the beginning of the season again.
I also don't want like a Scrubs sort of scenario where it's like, oh, we've got a new class of agents. I don't want that, guys. I like the show.
I could be okay with that. It would depend on what they did.
It all depends on the execution. Yeah. Taron, any final thoughts?
I love you, Daisy.
As long as Daisy makes it out, you're okay. All right, let's do some rapid fire predictions and then get out.
All right, I'll sign off as I predict. How about that?
That sounds good.
Hey guys, I'm Zach Wilson. Find me on Twitter and Instagram @ ThatZachWilson. I still have faith that Graviton will come. I think we're gonna open that Pandora's box, and she's gonna be like, "I'm ready to be infused with Graviton," and then the goo is just gonna be like, "Nah, I'm my own guy now."
And then Franklin Hall's gonna be like, "Yeah, no, that's not how this works."
Or it becomes this triumvirate within the Gravitonium, and we basically get this. I don't know. It's barely Graviton at that point, but like it effectively is the same thing.
Maybe that's a way we like sort of nerf it a little bit. All right, that's excellent prediction, Tehran.
I am Tehran all across the board. The bathrobe heartthrob at IAMTEHRAN. Find me, share me, love me.
Any final predictions for next week?
That people will find me, share me, and love me. I thought I made that clear.
It's going to be great.
He's not sure, but it's a prediction.
Jesse, you guys can follow him at JessKlein1 on Twitter and Instagram. Again, well, I hope we get the LMD replacement soon, since he is clearly dead. He fought Tehran to the death, and he's gone. I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's Themenguin. I think Ruby is going to become Graviton in the next episode. I think that's
interesting.
I think that's what's happening.
The chat thinks the Superior's head is going to be cloned. Maybe it's cloned at a giant size. I don't know. We'll have to think about it next week.
For sure. But again, if you guys haven't already done so, don't forget to comment, rate, subscribe on iTunes. All
like
that
on
good
YouTube.
Stuff.
Thumbs up.
And don't forget, kiss
up.
Or no kiss.
In the comments below. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Kiss! No kiss!
No kiss!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.